This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a man and his mom discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have Jack is in the house. Woo! The Atlanta Dream had some highs and lows this week. In the NBA, we have some new people coming in, old people going out. In some cases, all the people went out. Our movie of the week, one of the stars was Haley Joel Osment. And did we see dead people?
Almost.
And our game, Brawlin.
Brawlin. Very upsetting for me today. First in-person, real recorded podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 39 of Family Court Vision. It is almost 8 p.m. on Wednesday, October 6th.
It sure is. And this might sound a little different from our normal podcast because we're sitting in the same room with each other.
It's a very special podcast.
It is. This is weird.
I don't think we've ever done this other than at Barclays, which also much different than even this will be.
Yes, and weird and recorded on the phone. But this is, we have the mic set up. We're sitting on at the corner of a bed.
Opposite corners so that we can access each what is it called? Angle of the mic or each
side?
Each side of the mic. That mic is very perilously close to the edge of that lap desk. It's making me nervous, just so you know. I'll try not to shake too much. You know I shake.
Yeah.
So,
well, listeners, if you hear a big boom crash and your ears hurt, it's probably because our mic fell over. So we'll see.
So there is, other than this, absolutely nothing new with me.
Nothing.
I've done nothing. I've gone to two book groups since the last time we talked.
Okay.
We talked about the same book in both of them because there's me and another person and a third person in one.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one is me and person number two. And then kind of two other people, although we added a third person. This is actually new. This is actually kind of cool. So person three of four, who's now person three of five in book group number two, is in England. She moved to England for a year. We usually meet. We've done it by Zoom before, but then we've been meeting in person in someone's backyard recently. But one of them had the opportunity. Her husband grew up in England.
Mm-hmm.
She has two kids who are school age, but young school age, sort of young, medium school age. And there was an opportunity for this year for them to move to England for the year.
Hmm.
So they moved to England. So it's 5 hours ahead of us.
Oh.
So we had it at 7 p.m. our time, which was midnight her time.
Wow.
But we ended at like 9:30 p.m. So it was like 2:30 in the morning for her.
That's commitment to a book group.
It is commitment. And we're an international girl gang of books now.
Oh.
So.
I like that.
But that is the only thing.
Okay.
And you?
I had some friends over this weekend. The newest big thing for me is I started and completed watching Squid Game.
Oh, you completed it. Oh, your brother's been watching too.
It is very good.
Yeah, I would like to watch it.
It's not for everybody. If you're...
Is it like a season or is it just all self-contained? It's a number of episodes and then that's going to be it.
I don't know. I don't know if they're doing a second season. The end of the first season made it seem as if there would be more.
Okay.
But we just finished it last night, so I haven't like looked into anything.
All right, so how did you watch it? Did you watch it with closed captioning or subtitles or dubbing?
We watched it with
the... Because this, for anyone who doesn't know, this show is a Korean show.
Yes.
And it is in Korean because it's a Korean show.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of debate online as to
the right way
inaccuracies
to watch it.
In various ways. I haven't read all of those things, but I've seen that those exist because I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. We watched it in Korean with English subtitles.
Okay.
which I like. We actually started at first watching it dubbed, and it was just too weird for me because their mouths were not, you know, mm-hmm. it's different. They were just saying different things. Mm-hmm. And it's also a very intense emotional show. And so I liked being able to hear what they were actually saying in their mm-hmm. in their language, you know, and then being able to read and follow along. But I have seen that subtitles were not necessarily accurate, but mm-hmm. some were fixed because there was some backlash at first. Yeah. So I'm not sure which
the
version.
The first place I saw that it was inaccurate is on TikTok.
Me too.
Obviously, because that's where I get my news.
Yeah. It's not the typical kind of thing that I like. If you haven't watched it yet, such as you, mm-hmm. like if gore is tough for you, I wouldn't suggest watching this.
You lived through it and enjoyed it. So I think
I thought it was excellent.
So
I thought it was very,
how
very
many
good.
Episodes and how long are each episode?
There are, I can't remember, 8 or 10 episodes. I can't remember, but they're about an hour each.
Okay. All right. Now let me ask you a question because I am still not done yet with Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
I'm in the last season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm halfway through the last season, but I only have watched it. You and I watched the first season together.
Yeah.
You may have already watched it, but then we decided during the pandemic, we're going to watch the whole thing together. So we watched one season and then we didn't continue to watch together.
Yes.
So since that time, I've only watched while I'm at the gym on the elliptical. And that's why it's taken me so long, is because I'm a slacker and I don't go to the gym as often as I should. But I really enjoy watch. I mean, it's embarrassing when I laugh out loud and I'm just like on the elliptical. But is this something I could watch while I'm on the elliptical, or I need to have more focus on it?
I would say more focus.
Okay.
Even just for because of the subtitles.
Oh, true. And I just have a phone that I'm using there, so it would be small and then the words would be small.
Right.
Okay.
But that's something, you know, because pretty much every other show I've watched has been in English. And so, you know, if Laura and I are sitting on the couch and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go grab a drink of water, like we can keep the show on because I can just hear it. But we had to pause every time one of us had to get up because we would miss stuff. So
yeah, I'd like to watch that. And
but it was...
so now that I brought up the elliptical, you need to find me something, recommend something for me to watch while I'm ellipticaling.
I don't think this will be yours, but I have been going to the gym too. And I have been watching the Clone Wars animated TV show.
I think I'll have to wait on that one. I don't think I'm ready for that
one. Not ready for that one yet. But that's what I've been watching at the gym. So,
all right.
So there you go. But yes, highly recommend if you can deal with gore. It's not, there's no jump scares, but it is like a thriller kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If you can deal with all that, mm-hmm. I would highly suggest it's, right. I think, one of the best seasons of television I've ever seen.
Amen.
So, all right, so let's get into our first segment of the day, which is basketball news of the week.
Mm-hmm. And first, we have some kind of general basketball / sports news. There is, so just so that all of our listeners understand that we have not a script, but kind of like a layout in a Google Doc that we both look at to see what our topics are. And then I also frantically write everything out, and I didn't write it out in the right order. So I wrote about this thing, but now I can't find it in my notes. But anyway, some media group, I'm going to find it before we're done, but some media group published something called the NCAA Rich List.
Okay.
Which is a sports media group published this, which is their prediction for which NCAA athletes, now that they're allowed to make money, are going to be the top 5 moneymakers.
Huh.
Oh, I have to find it because that's where I wrote them down.
So based on like,
oh, I got it.
Marketability?
Yep. So it's the Action Network is the sports media company. I don't know. I'm not familiar with them.
Okay.
But yeah, based on, they looked at a bunch of factors, but really, it really had a lot to do with their Instagram following or mm-hmm. their social media following. And not only just how many followers, but like how many hits they get from their followers. So did you read this list?
I did not.
So do you have any guesses?
Oh, college athlete? Oh, I don't know. There's the one, this is all sports, not just basketball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's one, now I can't remember his name, who just committed to Memphis.
He's not in the top 5.
Okay. Then I'm out. I don't know.
Come on.
College athlete.
What about a college women's basketball player?
Paige, right? Paige mm-hmm. Beckers?
Yes. She's number five on the list.
Okay.
She has 908,000 followers.
Yeah.
She goes to UConn. She's a basketball player. Uh-huh. Superstar. I follow her on Instagram. She's got a delightful social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
Number one on the list.
Uh-oh.
Sharif O'Neal.
Shaq's kid?
Shaq's son. He's a junior at LSU, and he has 2.7 million followers on Instagram. Second place is Sunisa Lee. I think I don't know if I pronounced her first name correctly, but she's a gymnast.
She was just in the Olympics.
That's right. Gold yeah. medal winning Olympian, and she goes to Auburn.
Okay.
Third on the list is another gymnast, Olivia Dunn, who goes to LSU. So we have two LSU athletes right at the top.
Okay.
I already told you number five. So now the one sliding into the fourth place is Shakir O'Neal.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Texas Southern. He's got 973,000, almost 974,000 followers. So this is the prediction for who in the NCAA is going to be making the most money from their now ability to make money based on their social media.
Uh-huh.
So there cool. you go.
So yep. that'll be fun to track. Mm-hmm. See,
I wonder if I'm sure someone will be publishing what people earned at certain points.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, a whole new element of
right.
of that sport that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So.
I mean, it listed things like based on XYZ, this particular person could potentially earn $10,000 for a single post.
Uh-huh. What?
Could I make like $5 a post? How could I do that?
You need a ton of followers.
I need more followers?
I think you need more than whatever you have. No offense. Wow. I'm not there either. So.
Wow. Well, maybe that's what I'll figure out in the WNBA offseason while you're doing all the NBA work for the pod.
Okay.
I think maybe I'll figure out how to become a social media superstar.
Well, I think being a WNBA content creator
mm-hmm.
could be an avenue for that.
All right. I'll do it.
Great. Yep. Okay. Let's get into WNBA. Playoffs.
Right now, actually, as we're recording, it's 8:02 p.m. There's a playoff game that just started at 8:00.
Okay. Before we get any notifications or anything,
yeah.
let's make predictions for tonight.
Okay.
So we have
the Sky versus the Sun. And we have the Phoenix Mercury versus the Aces.
Uh-huh. Sky and Mercury are both up 2-1.
Correct.
So do you have any predictions?
Well, I'm going for the Mercury, 100%.
So you think they clinch it tonight?
Absolutely.
They're going to the finals. That's yeah. it.
I also think that the Sun is going to win tonight.
To tie up the series.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pick both of the teams down right now to tie it up. So
okay.
for the Sun and the Aces.
And the Aces. Okay.
To both tie up their series.
All right.
Because those were both the favorites going into mm-hmm. each of their respective series.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I do have to say, I think of all the teams left, I think I am rooting for the Mercury.
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about them in a second.
Okay. I'll wait then.
So first, if we talk about, so we're in the middle of the semifinals, the Sky lead the Sun 2-1. Game four is tonight at 8. And at the last game, there were just a couple of moves, plays, something that I was like, wow.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to briefly talk about them.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see that I won't be a basketball announcer based on this.
At least not in the next year.
Right,
or so.
Right. Although I did, for our activity at the end, I did watch some video of some old games. And I think I could have been an announcer in like the early 80s.
Things have definitely gotten better.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like sometimes when you go to a Broadway show and then you listen to, you know, an old production, no offense, of Pippin.
Yeah, the 70s.
Which is lovely.
Yeah.
It's a lovely production, but there is just no comparison.
It was not always a requirement of that you need to be able to sing to be on Broadway.
Correct.
Back then.
Correct.
Today it is.
That is correct. So yeah. So similarly to that, I maybe could have been, you know, when I was 12 or something, could have been an announcer. But so the Sun stole the ball, moved it down the court, missed a layup. Then two people missed the opportunity to get it into the basket. And then And then this guy grabbed it and ran the other way. That was one play.
Okay.
Another play, Candace Parker. Here's two other plays. One is Candace Parker, like, tipped it. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, she had it in her hand and she, like, rolled it to the end of her fingers and just whooped. And it went.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I know which
does
play you're talking about.
Does that about, sound actually. Like you could hear that happening?
Like, they call it either a finger roll.
Yeah, something.
Or maybe a floater, they might call it. But
she wasn't close to it.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't close to the basket. That was pretty cool. And then Candace Parker again blocked a shot and then moved. So she was on, like, if you're facing the basket, she was on the left side.
Uh-huh.
Blocked someone over there from shooting it, scooched around to the right side of the basket, got the rebound.
Crazy. Yeah.
This is why I was picking Candace Parker earlier in the year for, like, awards and stuff.
She's an incredible player overall, but especially defensively, mm-hmm. which is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for me for Sky versus Sun.
Yeah. We also had in that game, Kalia Copper came up huge.
26 points.
Yeah. It was kind of her.
And Allie Quigley had 21.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember if it was the last game or the game before, but Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley are married to each other. I believe they're married.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They played together so well. Like, they were really, like, you can see why they are, like, they have chemistry.
I'd be interested to see their, like, analytical numbers
mm-hmm.
to see if, like, because they have stats for all kinds of stuff,
mm-hmm.
to see, like, when the two of them are on the court,
mm-hmm.
does the team do better than one individually or nobody? Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who was the last game or the game before, but I was like, okay, I can totally see why these two work well together as a couple, because they are perfectly in tune with each other.
Isn't that crazy that you can kind of, like, quantify chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you could, like, you think, like, oh, whichever team has the best players, they're just going to do it. But, like, there are
mm-hmm.
duos and trios mm-hmm. that just work better than others
yeah.
do together.
So. And that brings us to our next team, the Mercury.
Okay.
That is a team with some amazing chemistry.
Yes. Yeah.
They play so well together. They are like a machine. They can just see, they look out for each other. They see who's open. They don't, nobody hogs the ball and it's the one person. I mean, yes, Diana Taurasi gets a lot of, you know, a lot of work there, but, like, Skylar Diggins-Smith does too. Like, that is I don't like Skylar, so for yes. me to say something nice about her is
I know.
Recognize, what is it, talent sees talent, is that what I'm saying?
Yeah. game recognized game
perhaps. Yeah. So Brittany Griner, I've already this season just fallen in love with her as a player. She's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'm a huge fan. Cunningham has been amazing.
Oh yeah,
right.
Well, we learned that firsthand,
right?
Yeah.
Diggins Smith, Turner, they pass to each other. They're just really, really impressive to watch how well they play together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Just really impressive.
Yeah.
Liz Cambage on the other team had a great three right at the end of the first quarter in the uh-huh. last game. It was a pretty distant three.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty good. And then Shea Petty is on the Mercury. Is that correct?
Yes. She's a guard, yeah.
She shot a three, but someone was right in front of her. So when she shot, she fell, and she was on her back on the ground, but the ball went in the basket. So that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, she's a very streaky player, Shea Petty. She's had some games where she's, like, the best player on the team and some games where she doesn't do anything. So mm-hmm. Watch out if she gets hot. But, yeah, so I'm similarly rooting for the Mercury. For a couple of reasons. I really like Diana Taurasi, and I think it's fun if she wins another one, especially because we are newer fans to the league and to get to say, like, hey, we watched this great player who won all these championships. You know, we watched her. We saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, like, saw her
right.
live. Literally. And we saw this team.
Yeah.
So if they are to win the championship.
And we saw them. We love the Liberty.
Yeah.
But we were like, oh, the Mercury's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we saw them live. Yeah. So if they go on to win the championship, I think that's a really cool historical yeah. thing that we're like, hey, we saw that championship team.
Yeah.
And also, they're the ones who beat the Liberty in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if they win the whole thing, then we as Liberty fans can say, we were the second best team. We just had a bad first round matchup. They were the eventual champ. What were we supposed to do?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So there's multiple layers that we can
use. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go. Go ahead.
Courtney Williams. So apparently, Courtney Williams and Crystal Bradford and Kalani Brown got into kind of a brawl with some people. And there's video of it.
Yes.
And it's not the pre-circumstances are not 100% clear.
Uh-huh.
They clearly were in the middle of this fight and they were doing their own damage. Although in the end, everybody says nobody was very hurt in this, but they were certainly fighting. Someone says that they were provoked. Whatever it is, the point of this is that Courtney Williams posted, this happened in May, this fight.
And this was in Atlanta, outside near like a food truck.
Kind of. It was right outside a food truck. And this happened in May, but Courtney Williams just posted it on her YouTube channel and was kind of joking around about it, which did not go over well.
Yeah.
With fans or bosses.
Right. Agents. Yeah.
Right. Did not go over well. Well, I'll talk about her agent in a minute, but should Courtney and Crystal both have the same agent? So the Dream, the Atlanta Dream, who Courtney and Crystal have been playing for, have decided they will not be re-signing either of them for the coming year.
And Courtney Williams was an all-star
this
year.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, you know, cutting the 12th member of the team. It's like she's...
Right. And I was trying to look it up today, but I was at work and my service is so spotty. There was some kind of altercation with Kennedy Carter and Courtney Williams, in which Kennedy no longer was allowed to play the rest of the season. And people were like, yes, Courtney, when she was young at UConn, she got into some fisticuffs. There were some issues, but she has grown and it was Kennedy Carter's fault. And no one is denying that Kennedy Carter is also someone who is provocable or however you want to say it. But it was pretty, but there were a couple of tweets early on from Kennedy, because I started to follow her then, that were cryptic, but were like, you know, critical.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was trying to look at her Twitter up today to see if she's been tweeting about this, and then I forgot when I got home. I'll have to look later. If there's anything good, I'll retweet it from the account. But, you know, that it puts that into a slightly different light. I don't know. It's probably right around the same time, maybe. I guess that was beforehand. This was in the summer that Courtney and Kennedy got into.
Right at the beginning of the season.
So anyway, they have decided not to re-sign them. Just before they decided that, Courtney deleted the video, apologized for it, said this is not a representation of who she is or who the team is, but that did not do anything to help. Their agent did say, the team is trying to act like they're all full of virtue. Throwing shade at the team, which to me doesn't seem, I know an agent and a team aren't on the same team, you know, they do have to negotiate and whatever, but it just doesn't feel like that's a smart thing to say about a team when you represent players. You know, it's okay, I think, to get into whatever you need to get into if you're negotiating whatever, but like to trash talk a team when you might be representing a player who's on that team at some point just doesn't seem like the right business decision to make.
Yeah. So this is just...
But I feel bad for Crystal Bradford because she's not who posted this recently and joked about it. Apparently the Dream knew that this video existed. So if they knew it existed and Crystal Bradford has done nothing new,
why is she
being punished? And also a lot of people are very upset because there seems to be a gender discrepancy as to how people are punished. Ron Artest, later known as Meta World Peace, had a big issue, big fight. and got some punishments, but it didn't end his career, which this potentially could end their careers, their American careers. You know, this might not have an issue on international. I don't know.
But who knows? Yeah.
But yeah, this could be career interrupting.
Yeah. And for the dream, you know, wherever you stand on this, wherever you think who's in the right, who's in the wrong, but this is just another thing added to this.
There's so much.
Never-ending season of things with the dream. It started, I mean, they have a new ownership group, which is not a bad thing, but, you know, people who are new to the job, that a whole big coaching thing at the beginning
of the
year.
There's also some front office position or positions that aren't filled.
I don't know.
I can't remember, or weren't filled for much of the season, something like that.
So they had the coach thing at the beginning of the year where she left to go to the college, and then their replacement coach, I don't know if he was an interim or not, then had health problems throughout the year and he had to be replaced. Mm-hmm. They had the Kennedy Carter stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Now this, so it's just, it's thing after thing after thing.
Thing after thing.
But yes, stay tuned for similar topic later in the in the show.
So Brianna Stewart and Puma, is that how you say it? Puma?
Mm-hmm.
Have a collaboration that there's a new clothing line and there's going to be a signature shoe also called Overdue. And I think Stewie was featured in Vogue or something about that. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an apparel line, a signature. They're going to release a signature shoe and it's called Overdue. So I may be making some purchases.
Okay. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got some more award announcements as well.
Yeah. I think the last ones, there is some sportsmanship award that I don't know if they've announced yet, but the last like position or, you know, non-person named.
Right. Based on play.
Right.
Awards. Did we get a most improved? Did we get that last time?
Maybe we didn't.
Oh, yeah. That. Actually, I think we did. It was...
I have it. I'll have it here. Brianna Jones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we have... we had from previously Defensive Player of the Year, Sylvia Fowles. Most Improved, Brianna Jones. Coach of the Year, Kurt Miller. MVP, Jonquel Jones.
And then just this week, we got Rookie of the Year, Sixth Person of the Year, and the All-Rookie Team.
That's right.
So, unsurprisingly, Mikayla Onyewede, the runaway favorite, and now the winner.
Pew, pew, pew!
Yeah, she definitely averaged the most points and minutes. Mm-hmm. Also was definitely up there among rookies in rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And today, she had surgery on her thumb.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Glad that happened now and not closer to next season. But and then we also had Kelsey Plum win sixth person of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And she is coming off a big injury from last year. She was out all of, I can't remember if it was an ACL or something else, but she was out all of last season. She came back this year, obviously played, you know, played awesome and was also on the 3x3 team in the Olympics, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So big year for her.
And the all-rookie team, obviously Mikayla.
Mm-hmm.
Dee Dee.
That's right, we got two.
We got two. And Dee Dee was drafted 17th.
Uh-huh.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, hard work and dedication and having a coach who believes in you can really move you places.
She put out a post, I can't remember if it was on Instagram or not, but saying like her injury at college, which caused her to be temporarily paralyzed, happened, I think, about a year ago.
Yes. Yeah, it was like in the fall of her senior year.
And so from that to her potentially never walking again to then eventually coming back and playing the rest of her senior year, getting drafted, you know, working her way in for a spot on the team.
Mm-hmm.
To now being one of the five best rookies of the year.
Right.
It's incredible. In 365 days.
Right. And she was featured a lot during the NCAA tournament. And some might say, because they're not naming any names, but there's certainly another rookie this year who many feel was drafted at a much higher spot than her play deserved because she's very popular on social media. Whether or not that's true, that is a perception. So one might say, well, Dee Dee was really featured a lot in public interest stories during the NCAA tournament. So, you know, if that got her some cred or whatever, but it didn't because she was drafted 17th. So it's not like it got her drafted 5th or 6th or whatever, you know, she got drafted where, you know, where I guess the teams felt that she should be. Liberty was smart about who they drafted and smart about how they played them.
Yeah, clearly.
So,
yeah.
So Michaela and Dee Dee from the Libs. We got Ari McDonald from the Dream, which is not a surprise either because she's phenomenal. Charlie Collier, who was number one draft pick, and Dana Evans, who was actually the 13th draft pick. So first pick in round two.
Mm-hmm.
Also from the Sky.
So this year seemed like less rookie playing time than it usually is. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, I'm sure for all five of those, their playing time will only increase next season.
Right.
And so they can continue That's to show right. off. And, you know, there might mm-hmm. be a rookie who disappointed in her first year who's going to be much better next year.
And that's why we have a Most Improved Player Award.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we shall see. Anything else, WNBA?
Nope.
Okay, let's move into NBA.
NBA. So Shea Murphy, a 12-year WNBA player who played with a number of teams. Lynx, Shock, Mystics, Fever, Sky, Mercury, Stars, and also played overseas, has been hired by the Lakers as a coaching associate, which is kind of like on the path to be an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's going to be at practice. I don't think she will be like sitting on the bench during games, but mm-hmm. I think she's at practices right. and team events and right. in player development and that sort of thing. So yeah, this is, mm-hmm. I think I saw the first female coaching hire that the Lakers have made.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, great. Obviously, as Stewie might say, overdue, uh-huh. but a good step in the right direction. She's also from Southern California. She went to USC.
Mm.
So I'm sure, you know, coaching for the hometown team is probably very cool. exciting for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we also had Pau Gasol retire mm-hmm. from the NBA just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a
Lakers, right?
Played for a number of teams, but it probably is most famous for his time with the Lakers. Won two championships there with Kobe in 2009, 2010, I believe. He's a six-time All-Star, four-time All-NBA player, two-time champ, as I just said. He won Rookie of the Year and also has an extensive international basketball career. He won a FIBA World Cup title, three Eurobasket titles, and he has two silvers and a bronze playing with Spain in the Olympics.
I don't know if this is speculation or if this is really true, but someone said something about his number being retired.
Yes. Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, tweeted out that his jersey number 16 will be retired by the Lakers.
Right.
And I would assume he's on his way to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But
seems like someone with that resume would.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, incredibly impressive. But yeah. So, you know, I mean, he was playing until this year. He was... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Grizzlies and Bucks had a preseason game that was super exciting, but the excitement didn't have much to do. I'm not going to say the game wasn't exciting, but this particular excitement wasn't to do with the play. It was because someone seemed to have pulled the fire alarm.
Yes.
And kind of right in the middle of the game.
Yeah. I believe it was right after the third quarter ended. Mm-hmm. The whole building had to be evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't finish the game.
Whichever team it was, before the league officially canceled it, they suited up and they went home.
Uh huh.
They're like,
it's preseason.
I'm not playing after this. This is not it for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So exciting stuff.
Guess what, Jack? Guess what?
What?
I have a very, very unique item on the list today that we've never talked about before in our lives.
I'm ready.
Ben Simmons.
What's the opposite of the beep, 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 beep sound?
Oh my God.
Wah, wah,
wah. Wah, wah. Well, enough, Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Enough. Again. Oh my God.
It's going to be every week until he gets traded. That's just what's going to happen. Every week.
And is someone going to take him?
This week there's rumors about Indiana possibly now, but I mean, I don't know.
And the Pistons also have shown some interest.
Oh, I didn't see that, but okay. You know, the story is that Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, is holding out for a Damian Lillard level player, whether it's Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal. But doesn't seem like he's going to be getting that level of player, so he might have to settle for something less. So we'll see. But Ben Simmons put his Philadelphia apartment on the market this week.
You should tell your brother. Maybe you could put in for that.
It's apparently it's close to $4 million, I believe.
Wow.
So.
All right. Well, you know, maybe they could all go in together on it.
Yeah. But there also seems to be a little more hesitancy on him and his camp side about losing all this money. They seemed to be under the impression that maybe they wouldn't get paid at first for not showing up, but they'd eventually make that money back once he got traded. And the league was like, if you are not showing up to training camp and practices and games, you lose that money forever. You're not getting that back. So there wasn't a story like, oh, he might come back now because he didn't realize that he's going to lose all that money. But there were some things out there this week that were like, he asked the league about the money situation. So, you know, his camp said they're willing to sit out the whole year if that's what it takes and forego his entire salary for this year. But if we're already a week into training camp and preseason, he's already having some hesitancy, then
yeah,
I don't know if he's willing to go that far.
So. That's actually a good segue into the GM survey, which came out this week. Because the GM survey, the GMs are pretty unanimous in feeling that the 76ers are not going to be an extremely successful team this year.
Yeah.
So.
Which, you know, I'm sure all of this factors into that, but
there were a number of things on the GM survey, but that was one of them.
Yeah, I marked down a couple of things. The three highest teams in order of who they, you know, who was voted to win the championship: Nets first, Lakers second, Bucks third. KD, Kevin Durant, and Luka Doncic were listed as the favorites for MVP. LeBron, while not listed in that list or listed as the best player at any position, was listed as a top five player at three different positions. He was listed as a top five point guard, small forward, and power forward. So
maybe the tops in each of those positions: top point guard Curry, top shooting guard Harden, top small forward Durant, power forward Giannis, and center Jokic.
So
he'd be good at all those things.
Yeah.
Someone else would be better at each individual
thing. Right. He was, I think, voted as the most versatile player in the league. So that's something.
They think the Rookie of the Year is going to be Jalen Green.
Second pick to the Rockets. Yep.
They think a really strong defensive player. I don't know if that means that they're thinking defensive player of the year, but really strong defensive player, Giannis. And they like the coach from Miami, Eric Spoelstra.
And the Heat were also voted as having the best offseason, all their moves and everything. So, so we shall see. We're in preseason. The season starts in less than 2 weeks, 2 weeks from yesterday. So no days off for us. Yeah. And then update on the vaccination situation. Andrew Wiggins of the Warriors apparently got vaccinated, or at least got his first shot. So news and pressure around the league clearly got to him, maybe, or maybe it was something else, but he is now vaccinated. Kyrie is apparently still not, and
did not,
no progress on that. So on that note, there was some backlash at some players such as Draymond Green and LeBron James, about both of whom are vaccinated, but about not being vocal enough about getting other people in the league vaccinated. I do understand both sides of it. And of course, LeBron's going to get the brunt? It's not a word.
That's a word.
The brunt of the criticism.
because I don't know if that's the correct word, but that is a word.
He's going to get most of the criticism because he's the face of the league, and and every, you know, people are expecting his voice to carry. You know, I didn't like some of the things that he and Draymond Green said about why they're not pressuring other players. Now, to be fair, all of the Lakers are vaccinated. So whether LeBron had something to do with that or not, his team is ready to go. So, but they did say, like, Draymond Green said something like, you know, if one of my teammates, like, wants to leave for 2 weeks because his wife is having a baby, like, I'm not going to sit, you know, that's his personal decision. He's doing what's best for him and his family. Like, that's not my place to say. But the difference is your wife having a baby doesn't potentially infect and kill other people around you. So there is a difference. And I do understand that. But I think the brunt of the criticism should be on the players who have not gotten vaccinated, right, and not necessarily the players who have gotten vaccinated that aren't using their voice loud enough. So I don't know, but yeah. Any other news?
Nope.
Let's get into our movie review of Home of the Giants.
Home of the Giants, which I had not heard of prior to last week's movie.
Me neither. As you said last week, we got our the lead, whatever his name is.
Ryan Merriman. Back-to-back movies.
Luck of the Irish and Home of the Giants.
So of the. That's his special phrasing.
Yeah.
So Haley Joel Osment was in this. Did you know that Eugene Osment was also in this? That is Haley Joel's dad. I don't know if we call him. We call him Haley Joel?
I don't know.
Just Haley? I don't know what his friends call him.
I've only heard his full name.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
Haley Joel Osment's dad, Eugene Osment, was also in this movie. He played a police officer.
Huh.
He's an actor and a film coach or something. Ryan Merriman, who we saw last week. My first criticism, before you even talk about whether we like it or not, why do people in movies have to have weirdo names?
Oh.
Gar.
Gar. Yeah, that was H-O. HJO's name. Yeah.
I mean, it was a nickname for his name. Like, I don't remember what his name was. His last name was like Garfield or whatever, but like they called him Gar. Like, really? Gar.
Gar. Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's my first complaint.
I have, a long list of complaints.
Let's just give a little heads up, like a little synopsis of the movie. So Haley Joel Osment is like a newspaper kid. Kind of dorky newspaper kid in this high school.
Right.
And his best friend is Matt. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Ryan Merriman's name? Matt, who's the star of the
Matthew
basketball
Morrison.
Team. Is his Matthew name. Morrison. That's right. That's right. and he did sing in this.
He did. Yeah, that's right.
An athlete who's singing. Who's the star of the basketball team. Now, looking at him in this movie and the previous movie, although he was younger in the previous movie, he may not have hit his height yet. And in this one, he also might not have. I was like, why? Like, I'm guessing there are tall actors out there they could have picked. But it turns out he's allegedly 6'1". I think actors overstate their actual height.
Yeah.
So he's probably like 5'11 or something.
Right.
But like still, 5'11 is not short.
He was towering over Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, well. Over the journalism student? Yeah. So they're like besties. I don't know why.
This is a common theme. I wrote this down. This is a common theme that the star basketball player is always friends with, like, either, like, the worst player on the team or some other nerd, loser, dork. Somehow those two are best friends.
Which doesn't happen in real life.
Right.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. But, not even, like, doesn't often happen. Like, doesn't ever happen.
Right. But because they need that right. dynamic.
That's right.
But yes.
So Haley Joel Osment basically was playing the role of Jack Levenberg. A rule follower.
Dorky, short, nerdy club.
rule follower. Who is a big fan of basketball.
I don't know.
Called it. And Matthew Morrison is the star basketball player. His brother has just come back from prison. He, you know, as many younger siblings do, idolizes his older brother, is happy to have him back. Dad doesn't seem to be happy that the brother's back. They have almost get into a bit of a brawl along a theme of today's episode so far. And so Matthew and Gar need to help the brother, whose name I can't recall, rob a drug dealer, is basically what it comes down to.
Because the brother's in financial problems.
Right. He bet on something and he needs money. So because Matthew adores his brother, he's going to do it. And because Gar adores Matthew, he's going to do it. So they get caught up in some stuff that they can't quite handle. And then other things
happen. Hilarity ensues. Just kidding. My question is like two things. What genre was this movie?
This, I think, was a thriller.
Yeah. Right. Kind of. Because no,
it officially was a thriller.
Because this drug dealer who then comes back and is a nuisance at the very least. Like every time he comes on screen, it's kind of like a jump scare. Like you're not expecting him, and they play that violin.
Right. They get into the car because they're afraid and they're running to escape him. And they get into the car and he's sitting in the backseat of the car.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's these kind of these horror thriller elements. There's also big car chase, mm-hmm. Action movie kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And then there's basketball and also regular drama, family stuff. Right,
after school movie kind of relationship, peer pressure kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to the same vein, what was the target audience for this mm-hmm. movie? I don't know a single group of people that would be I'm clamoring to go see this.
Maybe Ryan Merriman fans.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. But if a lot of high school stuff is made for middle schoolers.
Right.
But adult, scary adult stuff for mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But then college age and above people who want to go see a horror movie, this isn't really a horror. They're not going to go and get scared by this. So I don't know what this was. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I have a couple of technical complaints as well. Okay. The lighting was too dark.
Yeah.
I couldn't see a lot mm-hmm. of night scenes. And also something that you have brought up in the past, the sound levels. Mm-hmm. And also, did you watch this on Prime?
With commercials? The ads
that were
so loud,
6,000 times louder than the movie was. Yes. So every time I had to.
And I had my headphones on while I was watching it. So it screeched in my ears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even just the movie itself, the quiet scenes were way too quiet and the mm-hmm. loud scenes were way too loud. So I was constantly adjusting volume. Mm-hmm.
Here's an issue I have with it.
Okay.
That creepy subplot, not even subplot, just two little scenes with the female coach.
Yeah.
With flirting with the female. And I will guarantee you, I 100% know this to be true, that the popular athlete boys in high school have this playful flirtation with especially female English teachers.
Yeah.
It's not a crossover the line thing. They just will come in and they'll go oh, Miss Jones, I love your sweater today. It really brings out your eyes. And they don't really mean it. Miss Jones knows they don't mean it. There's not any kind of reciprocal weirdness going on. But true regular thing that happens where the popular boys, for some reason, also need to spread their charm to the female teachers, especially those who might be not the coolest female teachers.
Uh-huh.
100%. That's 100%. But this was creepy.
Yeah.
This was actual flirtiness, looks between them, and then walking in. I get that the scene was that Matthew was drunk, so he busted into the women's changing room and everybody's screaming because he was in there. The coach also was, why did she have to shower? Why did she have to shower? I don't know.
To create that creepy moment.
Does an adult coach shower with their students?
I sure hope not.
Yeah, super creepy. Yeah. But then also he's there, and as he's talking to her, he's flirting with her, and ew!
Yeah.
Gross. Super gross.
Yeah.
Super gross. Also, was Matthew Morrison the stupidest person on the entire earth? I get that he was extremely entitled.
Uh-huh.
So no bad happened to him. That was very well established.
Yes.
Many, many, many times. I get it. But when they broke into the drug dealer's house, he decides he's going to play a slot machine.
Yeah.
that is loud and has music, not even when it spews out the quarters. Like that, yes, that's loud. But even before that, you pull a slot machine arm and it goes like, ding, 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 ding. Like, hello? You guys are in this house in the dark. We've already established that there are weapons.
Yeah.
People are wearing masks and you're hiding in someone's house waiting for them to come there.
Yeah. I mean, also clearly the older brother had other people because they had that like other like guy who kind of drove for them. Right. So like he had other people that clearly would have been much better than these two high school kids to go rob a drug dealer's house. But
Well, but then that storyline is explained at the end. That's not really what happened.
Right. Yes, but
in the moment.
Why? Yes, right. Yes. We'll save that twist ending for you guys.
Yeah,
you have to watch this movie.
You're gonna want to watch it. But the one thing you should know is that this had an ending to this movie that was similar to another movie that we saw, because another movie we saw also dealt with a family member betting, for or against the family member's team, and it coming down to the last second, and the family member on the team, the athlete, had to make a decision as to whether or not to win the game in order to possibly help or hurt their family member.
Yes, that's right. And I'm guessing this one will be similarly rated to that other movie. Speaking of that, where's this fall for you?
You know, I didn't think about it before. I didn't hate this movie. I hated Wolves.
Okay.
Like hated. Like I have like acid in my stomach level of hate for that movie.
Okay.
This I didn't hate like that. I would put this probably I'd probably give this a 3.
Okay.
Looking at what else we gave a 3 to. Semi-Pro, Teen Wolf was a little lower. The Mighty Max was a little higher. I'd probably say a 3 for this. Okay. Because the performances were okay.
Yeah.
Though, you know. Poor Haley Joel Osment. His first break in the world comes with his catchphrase, "I see dead people."
Uh-huh.
So, you know, of course, when I saw this movie, I was like, is he going to see dead people? Obviously, he's not going to. But then when there were some precarious situations, I'm like, oh, he is dead people in this.
He is dead people. Yeah. He was Forrest Jr. as well, right?
Mm-hmm. And many, many, many other things.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's just that first one really.
I gave this a 2. So it's a 2.5. So that'll make it our 24th best basketball movie.
All right. So between, like I said, between Teen Wolf and Semi-Pro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
We got a good one for next week.
I'm excited. I just read it for the first time.
Air Bud.
Yes.
I've never seen that. Have you seen it?
I have seen it many times.
Oh.
This was actually a favorite of, we watched this a lot in our cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give up their town name. Our cousin's basement.
Mm-hmm.
This was a favorite of ours.
You say their town name because that's how they have the same last name as us.
Yes.
So everybody refers to each of us by our town name, like, and this is not our towns, but like the East Rockaway Levenbergs versus the Garden City Levenbergs, like that.
Yes.
So yes, that's what you're referring to.
Yes. So that the Levenbergs that are not us, we watched it a lot in their basement. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. Again, I think it'll be a nice palate cleanser after this basketball horror movie that we just watched. That's what it was. Okay, let's get into our last segment of the day, which is going to be, I'm calling it worst fights / brawls in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the Courtney Williams video earlier. And so we thought we would go through and explore some fights that either happened involving athletes or actually on the court / field.
That's right.
And also look at the punishments that these players got for being involved in this and, you know, see if there's any sort of pattern that we can establish or if there's, you know, comparisons that we can draw that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do this just like a typical draft, four rounds, snake it.
Yep.
First or second pick?
You choose.
I'm going first.
Wow. Okay.
And I will go with the one that you referenced earlier, Malice in the Palace, yep. 2004. Mm-hmm. A game between the Pistons and the Pacers in November of 2004. Started as a scuffle, you know, as often happens, hard foul, that sort of thing. It was, you know, more aggressive and more violent than your typical scuffle, but still, you know, mm-hmm. just between players, some pushing, some punches thrown. And then Meta World Peace, who was Ron Artest at the time, was laying on the scorer's table, kind of removing himself chilling from the situation. But he, mm-hmm. I think it was like a sarcastic, like he was part of it. And then he like laid down like, I'm not an instigator here. A fan at the arena threw a beer at him, mm-hmm. which enraged him. And he jumped into the stands and started fighting fans. Steven Jackson, his teammate, also jumped into the stands and started fighting fans. Literal fights, like mm-hmm. literal punching each other, trying to knock each other out, players, fans. It's just, it was the most egregious thing that maybe has ever happened in sport. Like, it's just the worst thing. The video is tough to watch. It's just, obviously those fans were in the wrong. Obviously the players were in the wrong. It was just a terrible situation overall. Many of those fans who were involved were arrested. They were banned for life from that arena. The players, it also changed some history, like looking at the bigger history, it changed some NBA security measures. They changed, they added more security officers and added more like bars and things in arenas to make it harder for that kind of thing to happen in the future. It also changed the sale of alcohol in arenas. Because obviously that played a big factor. And so I think they like stop it earlier in the game. Meta World Peace was suspended for the rest of the season. This was pretty early in the season. So he was suspended for the rest of the season.
I think he has a different name now.
Does he?
Yeah. I think his name is some Meta Sandiford.
Okay. So he was suspended for the rest of the season. Multiple other players were suspended for 30 games, 15 games, like it went down based on their level of involvement. Mm-hmm. But it did not end any of their careers.
No, that's right.
Meta went on to win a championship with the Lakers, with Paul Gasol and Kobe Bryant. Steven Jackson is now like a popular NBA media person. He's on TV all the time. He has his own podcast. Mm-hmm.
So everybody's right.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was a long-winded thing for the first pick. Okay, you get 2 and 3 now.
Okay, so I'm going to pick the 1993 Knicks versus Suns game.
Okay, I don't have this.
Knicks versus Suns. So let me see if I can get this right. Kevin Johnson fouled on Doc Rivers. And then everyone got involved. People were punching each other. There was a pile of players. So I think what initially happened, Doc had the ball, Kevin Johnson knocked it out of his hand and maybe out of bounds or something. They exchanged words. There was an offensive foul called on Doc. Doc yelled at the ref. Kevin Johnson got in Doc's face, but then KJ was restrained by the ref. And then the game went on and then there was more fighting. Danny Ainge was is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Was involved in it. Even Greg Anthony, who was injured at the time and not playing and was in street clothes, mm-hmm. He punched Kevin Johnson. Pat Riley climbed on the pile in his suit to pull players out of it. He ripped his pants open, which you can understand how that feels.
Yes, I feel his pain, yep.
So Kevin Johnson and Doc Rivers were suspended 2 games each. Greg Anthony was suspended for the season, even though he wasn't even actually playing in the game. But the significance of this is what started the leaving the bench rule.
Oh, okay.
So you get suspended for a minimum of 1 game if you leave the bench when there's an altercation going on. And that was because of Greg Anthony, who wasn't even suited up, mm-hmm. but punched someone in the face and got involved. So that was the start of that rule. That's why I picked that as a significant
one. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that rule is still in effect that, you know, if you're on the bench, even if you take one foot onto the court during an altercation, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's my next one. I wasn't going to go with any hockey because there's lots of fighting in hockey. In fact, a popular corny comedian joke is, I went to a fight the other night and a hockey game broke out. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to pick hockey because that's what you do. Mm-hmm. Right. But then I read this 1994-95 season. A player named Rob Ray would often get in fights and would purposely get his shirt ripped off. Even if he didn't pull it off, he would get his shirt ripped off and his pads under his shirt and everything, which would then give him the advantage in the fight because the person he's opposing would now have a handful of clothing and pads and he's got no pads on, so he's got freedom to move and he can punch or whatever he needs to do. So it gave him freedom. So similarly to the other game that I just mentioned, this altercation started a rule in hockey that if you must keep your shirt on during a fight in hockey or you get an automatic game misconduct. Not that you're not allowed to fight in hockey, but when you fight in hockey, you got to keep your shirt on. And it even led to something called fight straps on clothing that tie down your clothes. They're not mandatory, but you can have them on your uniform to tie down your clothes. And apparently most of the bigger, you know, the more successful players have these to tie down their clothes so they won't get ripped off during a fight.
Uh-huh. And probably just for suspension's sake, not for like safety or
anything. Oh, right.
Like
no. Yeah.
It's just so that they don't get in trouble.
That's right. You're a good player. We don't want you in trouble. Keep your shirt on
uh-huh.
while you fight.
Right.
Which just reminds me, just for a second, the doctor. So you, when you had braces, so when you were little and your teeth were loose, you didn't like to pull them out.
Uh-huh.
So you had some grown up teeth that didn't grow in because the baby teeth just stayed there.
Didn't get out of the way.
Right. So as part of your braces, decade,
yep.
I don't know how long you had braces on. We had to do oral surgery with you and cut open your palate because one of your teeth was up in your palate, attach a chain to it that then they had to pull down to get your tooth back into place. So we had to go to an oral surgeon. And the oral surgeon we went to was like the Islanders hockey team's oral surgeon and had all these pictures in the office of Islanders like before and after with like blacked out teeth uh-huh. and then with their lovely new sets of teeth. So that just reminded me of that.
Yeah. When we do these drafts, I always make a list of eight just in case I have to mm-hmm. go that far. But my eighth one on here is just, in general, hockey brawling. Uh-huh. It's just the most ridiculous thing.
Uh-huh.
100 years from now, I think we're going to look back and be like, how barbaric was that?
Right.
That just part of this sport is like, yeah, we just accept it. That two guys don't like each other. They can just beat the out of each other.
Right.
And then they just have to go sit in a box for 5 minutes mm-hmm. as punishment. And then they can come back out.
And the craziest more. Thing about that is that like a lot of hockey players and teams are Canadian. Canadians are so nice.
Not hockey players.
No, they're tough.
So I do have to say that this, like, I know we're, this is going to be a long episode, but this is, this topic is very upsetting for me.
Why? Because you're not supposed to fight in sports?
Because this all stems from toxic masculinity and the need to mm-hmm. show that you're dominant over somebody because mm-hmm. they pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that just, it just upsets me. Anytime I see it in public or wherever, like that's not why I like sports. Some mm-hmm. people do like it because of that, but that's not what it is for me. So some of these fights like really upset me because there's real, like you're just, like how do you let your rage go unchecked
mm-hmm.
that far that you're literally swinging punches at fans? Or in this case, my next pick is going to be the Red Sox Yankees 2003 brawl in the ALCS. There was, as most baseball fights happen, there was, you know, some hit by pitches that mm-hmm. they thought were intentional, some hard slides
mm-hmm.
That led up to this. And then it ended up with both benches clearing and punches being thrown. And this one is specifically famous because the 72-year-old coach from the Yankees, Don Zimmer, was thrown to the ground by Pedro Martinez of the Red Sox at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Don Zimmer was charging at Pedro Martinez. So, like, he's not not at fault here, but he's also a 72-year-old man mm-hmm. and was thrown to the ground mm-hmm. as part of this fight. And it's like, you're playing a game.
Right.
Like, we're playing a game here. Mm-hmm. Like, he could, like, a 72-year-old man, that could kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just,
mm-hmm.
No players were suspended any games for this fight. Mm-hmm. Pedro Martinez was fined $50,000. That was the highest punishment that came out from this fight. Everybody else, you know, other aggressors in the fight were fined, but no suspensions came out of this. So that's I think, a pretty egregious one for me. Another one that I'm going to mention is my next pick is going to be the 2006 Miami FIU game. It's a college football game. Again, you know, tensions rising throughout the whole game. Blew up, all-out brawl. Helmets being torn off, swinging helmets at each other, kicking people in the head.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy, a player who was not playing, he was injured, who was on crutches, mm-hmm. who joined the fight and was swinging his crutches mm-hmm. at people.
Mm-hmm.
There were then not players and fans, but there were fans in the crowd who were seeing this and then decided to start punching each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the worst part of this was the commentator at the game, who was an alum of one of these schools, I can't remember, was saying, during this fight, like, see, that's what happens when you come in our house. Well, you know, we beat you down. Don't mess with us. Like, while this was all happening,
wow.
He was fired. But,
wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
All of that going on. 13 players were ejected from that game. Most of the involved players were suspended one game
mm-hmm.
for this. Now, there were some players, again, I can't remember on which team, that were suspended for the rest of the season, and there were two players that were kicked off the team entirely. But especially in a college setting, that's crazy to me mm-hmm. that most of these players got one-game suspensions mm-hmm. and weren't, like, kicked out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Both coaches were also fired / resigned before the end of the season. Okay.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm just getting worked up about these.
You are. Look at you. You're going to start swinging chairs.
Yeah.
So now I have two?
I believe you do, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go with, this was not in a game.
Okay.
1997, Charles Barkley.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
With the Houston Rockets, was in Orlando to play the Magic. And a fan threw, they were out socially. A fan threw a cup of ice toward him, at him, whatever. He ignored it. The fan threw another cup. It hit someone in the party. Barkley flipped out. And this fan was allegedly a 5'2" person, man.
Uh-huh.
Barkley picked him up. Well, first they fought. First they started a fight. There was an off-duty cop who happened to be there who broke it up. And who restrained the construction worker. That's the fan was a construction mm-hmm. worker. Restrained the guy. Barkley grabbed the guy out of the cop's hands, picked him up, and threw him through a plate glass window.
Yeah.
And then went to jail.
Uh-huh.
Clyde Drexler bailed him out for $6,000. There was some kind of private out-of-court settlement here. The guy didn't end up pressing criminal charges. But there was some kind of out-of-court settlement that we don't know the details of. However, the official fine that Charles Barkley got for this was $320.
Oh.
And he had to do community service, I think, with children.
Hmm. Good.
Yeah. That's who I want around my children.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my next one.
This is, by the way, something that gets brought up and joked about a lot because he's on TV all the mm-hmm. time. You know, there's a lot of window jokes that follow Charles Barkley about this very funny situation that happened.
The guy, let's just say the guy was not badly injured at all. Oh. So that, you know, not that that makes joking okay, but I think it's good to say that.
And then your last pick, I believe, right?
Mm-mm.
You get one more after that? What do you have so far? That one?
You did hockey. The first one, so then I got two, and then you did your two, and then I got one.
I'm saying you're about to give your last pick.
No.
If you did two, and then you just did one.
Oh, we got four total.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is my last one.
Yeah,
I got so many here.
We can do quick honorable mentions.
What am I gonna do? Okay, I'm going to pick 2011, the Georgetown Hoyas versus the Bai Rockers, which was a Chinese team. It was an exhibition game in Beijing. That team, the Bai Rockers, were an army professional team. They were the military, professional team from the military. So they were in Beijing for an exhibition game. Apparently a lot of fouls were being called on Georgetown, and other players who've played exhibition teams there have said that's what happens. You get fouls called on you. There were some on-court fights going on, fist fights going on, just a handful. Not that any should be okay, but
just
not,
a handful, yeah.
Not too bad. Until the fans joined in. One was holding a stanchion. That's like the pole that holds like the rope that keeps people in line. One was wielding a stanchion. One of the Bai players pushed a Georgetown player to the ground, sat on his chest, and repeatedly punched him. Someone threw a chair. One of the Georgetown players was wielding a chair to defend himself. A total of 39 fouls were called. And the Georgetown Hoyas were, they left the court. And then the next day at the airport, the two teams' representatives exchanged gifts with each other and everything was fine. So that was the penalty, was gifts. I don't know what kind of gifts they gave each other, but something.
Again, like at a college level.
Right.
Just like Matthew Morrison, like the entitlement that players have and the privilege that they get for just simply being moneymakers for the school and star athletes. Like, if I was punching people and throwing chairs at a theater rehearsal, I would not be attending that school anymore. Mm-hmm. They would kick me out of the school.
That's right.
Okay, my last pick is going to be just recently 2019, football game between the Steelers and the Browns, Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett. Mason Rudolph was the quarterback because Big Ben was injured for the Steelers, and Myles Garrett, I think, tackled him on a play. They were sort of wrestling on the ground for a second. And it ended up that Mason Rudolph's helmet came off, so he was without a helmet, and Myles Garrett was swinging the helmet. Luckily, he missed, but swinging the helmet at Mason Rudolph's head. Oh, now, I'm not sure if you've ever held a football helmet, but those are like, I mean, they're designed to protect your head.
Right.
So they're sturdy, heavy things.
Right.
And that could, like, there were physics people that were like, if he connected, like, that literally could have killed him.
Yes.
Now, context is important. There, what Myles Garrett did say, Myles Garrett is a black man and Mason Rudolph is a white man. Myles Garrett did say that there was a racial word that was used in the scuffle. Of course, does not, you know, excuse trying to kill somebody. Mason Rudolph denies that, and apparently the NFL, like, they have the audio that they are not releasing, but they said that that is not true. But they're not releasing it, so I don't, who knows what the real story is there. But just a really ugly, terrible situation.
Yeah. Cool.
And Myles Garrett was suspended the rest of the season. But he's back now. He's a star player. He's
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Doc Rivers, one of the people in one of my fights that I talked about, he's a coach now.
He is. Multiple-time coach.
Yeah.
He was on TV for a while, too. Any quick honorable mentions you just want to...
I have the 1997 Latrell Sprewell versus PJ Carlesimo. There was some trash talking. Sprewell choked Carlesimo. Teammates broke them up. Later, Latrell said on 60 Minutes, I wasn't choking him that hard. He could still breathe. Oh, but he also came back and threatened that he was going to murder the coach.
Hmm.
But he did get suspended 68 games, lost $6 million, and his Converse shoe deal.
Okay.
Then I also have 1977 Houston Rockets and Lakers, the fight between, we talked about this before, because this was in one of the documentaries you watched.
Fight between?
Kermit Washington and Rudy Tomjanovich. It wasn't that, it was Kermit Washington punched Rudy, like Rudy Tomjanovich was running towards the fight and Kermit Washington punched him and he was leaking spinal fluid and had to go to the emergency room. And so there was a 60-day suspension, $10,000 fine. Tomjanovich was out for the rest of the season, but then came back and was okay.
He was just elected to the Hall of Fame just last year.
Right. That's probably when we were talking about it, maybe. Uh-huh. And then finally, Dr. J versus Larry Bird in 1984. A double technical fighting foul was called on them. Both were ejected, and there was $7,500 fine each, which was the second highest fine for conduct at that time.
Okay, my honorable mentions, Rangers Blue Jays 2016, Jose Bautista, and I believe it's pronounced Rufnid Odor. This is a famous fight. They were punching each other at second base. Odor was suspended 8 games, Bautista 1 game. Andre Johnson and Cortland Finnegan were punching each other in a football game. They were just each fined $25,000. There was a Knicks-Nuggets game in 2006 that Carmelo Anthony was involved with. I didn't know about this until today. Mm. But this was just a couple of years before he was on the Nuggets, and this was just a couple of years before he was with the Knicks, and he was like punching Knicks players. And then we, as a city, just embraced him, and that's our guy.
Well, you know, if you're good at sports.
Yeah. And he was suspended 15 games for that. And then, as I said, my last pick was every hockey brawl ever. Fun way to end the episode.
Fun way. Woo! I'm just going to jump back for a second because I wanted to point out that the movie took place in Indiana. The movie we watched took place in Indiana. So someone, maybe the director or someone said, the quote at the beginning of the movie was by the basketball guy.
Peach Basket, the inventor of basketball.
Right. The what Hall of Fame? Naismith.
Yeah.
Right. So he said basketball might have been born in Massachusetts, but it was raised in Indiana or something. It grew up in Indiana, something like that. So I just want to point that out, that it was kind of almost maybe the point of the filmmakers was like to show another side of Hoosiers, mm-hmm. like another piece of that. I forgot to say that earlier. Sorry that I had to jump back. Okay. So that is it for episode 39. Send in questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @famcourtvision, and don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision,
the mother of all basketball podcasts.